from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're back here at Living Treasures out in Donegal. God's country, I call it up here. It's beautiful. Wow, is it beautiful. And, of course, tomorrow we've got a football game. And the football game, it will involve the Steelers. And it's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and joining us now is everybody's favorite. That would be Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Everybody loves Ray. And, Ray, is 1 o'clock on a Saturday a strange time in your mind for an exhibition? I can't remember the last time they played a game like this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Hello, Ray. Are you there?
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
There we go. Yes. I was saying, you know, the 1 o'clock Saturday exhibition game, it doesn't seem like they've – I can't remember the last time they did this. Is this a strange time for them to be playing a game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I remember Sunday afternoon preseason games when it would be maybe a national Fox or a national, TV broadcast like CBS or whoever, but they are a little bit odd. Usually it's Friday night, Saturday night, but hey, the Steelers will get back to Pittsburgh early, and then by Tuesday, Paul, they got to get down to 53 players. So the coaches certainly have their work cut out for them in that 48 hours after this game's over.
So when you look at it, they're done. Tomorrow's the 24th, right?
Which means
they essentially have 15 days to get ready for Atlanta. Is that, I mean, that's pretty much what the gap is going to be. And quite frankly, I feel like it's probably not that much different than if they played the fourth game. You know how you always played on Thursday night?
Yeah.
The Carolina game. To me, that was always a waste of time anyway because nobody played.
Yeah, I mean, you would basically, practice one day that week, and then if you had to travel to Carolina, you're on the road Wednesday. So, I don't think certainly the fans don't mind it. I don't think the players mind it either, Paul. I think, 80%, 90% of these decisions are made based off of what you do in the off season and in these training camp practices. I mean, these games are important. They're part of the equation, but these coaches have a pretty good idea of who these guys are even before they get to training camp. And then really, when you look at it, maybe what, 3 to 5 jobs are open for competition near the end of the roster. And I think those are the big, the big decisions that have to be made. Those 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53 players, those guys are the ones who have to go out and show something Saturday afternoon.
Ray Fittipaldi brought to you by Elk. GKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. And, of course, the Fan Hotline, which is where we're talking to Ray. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, question that everybody has, at least if you watch the national hot take shows, is who's going to be the Steelers' starting quarterback. This has never been a question, has it, Ray? This has been a lot of chatter from all of these hot take shows trying to create a competition that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I think it probably stems from the fact that Mike Tomlin uses words like pole position and stuff like that, and that kind of paints the picture for people who aren't here every day that there actually is a competition, but it was never that way. Now, I got stoked a little bit in training camp when Russell Wilson had that injury. I get it. Justin Fields, got better as camp gone on, but this is Russell Wilson's team, Paul. Unless he has a really bad September, he's going to be this team's quarterback for the foreseeable future, and Justin Fields is a good backup option. But, certainly I have to see more from Russell Wilson, and especially that offensive line after the way they played last week. They certainly have some work to do, and Mike Tomlin is going to run them out there, and probably for an extended period because that outing last week against the Bills was so bad.
I think Russell Wilson, to me, he has – what did he practice, maybe 2 full days out of the training camp?
Before that Bills game,
right.
He was working his way back in, but I would say he was a full participant. Maybe just, the last 3 days of that final week before the Bills game.
Right. So, that was going to happen. I think the other thing, Ray, that people seem to forget – you've got a brand-new offensive coordinator, a completely new system. You've got basically, in some ways, a rebuilt offensive line. You've got new quarterback, and you got new receivers as well. At the end of the day, there's going to be some growing pains, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. People look around that offense, and they see a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You see a first-round pick in Najee Harris, a second-round pick in Pat Freiermuth. First and second-round picks all across that offensive line, big free agent acquisitions, but you hit the nail on the head, Paul. It doesn't matter. For a guy who's been here 4 years, like Najee Harris, is still learning a new system, just like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are. So, I think Smith is going to do a really good job. I think the Steelers have to get off to a good start because the easy portion of their schedule is in September and October. But it's not going to be perfect early. And, hopefully for the Steelers' sake, they do get all this stuff ironed out, in August before the games start to count. So it didn't look good the first 2 weeks. The guys like Wilson and Smith aren't particularly concerned because they're not showing their full hand. But I think everyone wants to go into the season opener in Atlanta feeling a little bit better about themselves. And they can certainly do that if they go out and have a good outing in Detroit tomorrow.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Justin Fields. If he doesn't play this year, say Russell Wilson plays the whole season, what would his options be other than to sign with the Steelers again?
Well, if you remember, Paul, there wasn't a lot of interest on the trade market for him. The Steelers basically just had to give up a 6th-round pick to get him. So, basically he would be back, in the same spot. Now, maybe other teams are searching for quarterbacks, and maybe there's a GM or a coach who has a connection to Justin Fields from Chicago. Who knows how that stuff works. But based on the interest he received this spring, I wouldn't expect it to be that much different next spring. And listen, Paul, if he's buying into like a long-term project where he's trying to rehab his career and become more of a pocket quarterback than a running quarterback, then maybe it would be in his best interest to be a backup for another year or two. Of course, he wants to be a starter, but sometimes these things take time, especially when you're a guy like Fields who's known for his running and is trying to become a more accurate passer. It just like the offensive line, Paul, it takes a lot of time to develop, and especially a guy who has some habits to break from his days in Chicago.
We are with Ray Fittipaldo, the Post Gazette. Ray, are you fond of snakes?
I cannot say that I've ever held a snake, but I don't mind them.
Well, I'm just saying we had I'm up here at Living Treasures, and I just had on my arm. What kind of snake was? What kind of snake is this thing that was just crawling on my arm? Oh, we don't have – it's a what? You're not on, so let's just – it's a ball python.
Yeah.
Okay. And how old is that ball python?
About 2 years old.
All right. So I just had a ball python crawling on me, Ray. How do you like that?
I could probably handle a garter snake. I don't know if I can handle a python on my – sounds like you're doing like a Johnny Carson type of show today.
Yes, we are. I had a kangaroo. Now I have. I just had a ball python. How old is your ball python?
About 2 years old.
So it's two year old ball python, and of course you. We'll see that. I know how long. How big will that grow to?
This species is about 5 foot. So
a 5 foot snake. What do you think about that, Ray? What if you walked out of your porch and saw a 5 foot ball python?
Yeah, that I'll take a pass on that.
Yeah, now are they harmful or
no? These are like between corn snakes and ball pythons, they're like the best starter snake for like a pet.
A pet. There you go. So we have it. Didn't the Steeler? Who was the Steeler that was really into the snake thing? Was it
Chad Brown?
Yeah, it was Chad Brown. I think he still has a bunch of snakes and stuff, right? I mean, that was his thing. We're living treasures, so I've got all kinds of co-hosts coming out here today. Ray, the other thing about it is this whole thing with Brandon Ayuk obviously took a life of its own and became ridiculous. But I don't think that it changes the fact they need a second receiver. I mean, again, maybe I'm missing something, but I'm watching Van Jefferson, and he looks like he's Van Jefferson. I'm watching, you know, Calvin. I'm watching all of these guys. I just don't see a second guy that's going to put any fear at all in any defense.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does seem like they're all in on Ayuk, and if they don't get him, there's really not a lot of other options, even though there may be some other unhappy receivers out there. Van Jefferson had a good year a couple years ago when he was with the Rams. He helped them win a Super Bowl. Maybe they could strike lightning in a bottle and, you know, he could have a bounce back year. But, Paul, you're right. I mean, Scotty Miller is in camp. He's probably going to make the roster. He's had his moments with Tom Brady, but, again, you're turning back the clock there. So, in the end, Paul, if they do not get Brandon Ayuk, number two receiver is probably going to be Pat Freiermuth. Now, Pat hasn't done a lot in the first two preseason games, but if you watch him during camp, he looks really good. He looks like he's a good fit in this Arthur Smith offense. So, you know, kind of by default, I think the tight end could end up being a number two if they don't land Ayuk. I'm not closing the door on Ayuk just yet, but that thing just seems to be dragging on forever here. So it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about it is if it doesn't happen, like you said, I know that there's, you know, Arthur Smith's offense is tight end heavy and all that, but, man, I think part of the problem with the offense, and I think I wrote about it this week, in fact, it's not just that the quarterbacks haven't been great. I don't know that the receivers, other than Pickens, have done a good job of getting themselves open.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a small sample size because – you know, Pickens and Van Jefferson aren't out there for all that much here in the first two games. Now, listen, would people have a different mindset if Mike Tomlin would have challenged that Van Jefferson catch a couple of weeks ago and that maybe that drive continues? It certainly would have. It would have been a first down. And you could say the same thing last week against the Bills, Paul. You know, that Pickens catches that ball. I think it's inside the 20 or inside the 15. Doesn't get the call by the official, but, you know, that was a nice throw by Wilson and almost a great catch by Pickens. So these guys are in here for only a handful of snaps every game. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you better believe, Paul, they got to get off to a fast start because if this receiving core is a story in a negative way early in the season, then certainly Omar Khan and the coaching staff are open for criticism just because – it's been an issue since they traded Deontay Johnson all the way back in March.
What game will be the first time that we see Broderick Jones at the left tackle, Troy Fontenot at the right tackle, and obviously Frazier is going to be your center. But what is going to be the first game where all three of those and I know Broderick Jones is a second year guy, but I'm kind of considering him a rookie if he's going to move to a different position. So you're essentially going to have three rookies starting on your offensive line. Like how many weeks into the season will it be before that sort of incarnation of the line, you know, actually happens?
Well, you want to know what the funny thing is about these first two preseason games? All the criticism of the offensive line, and you know whose name hasn't been mentioned? Dan Moore. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know he's the lightning rod. But Fautanu had his struggles before he got injured. in the opener, and then we all know Broderick Jones really struggled against the Bills. You know, Paul, to answer your question, I think this all depends on Fatutanu's health. He told us this week that he plans to be ready for that season opener, but, you know, next week they're going to practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then I think they get a four-day weekend before they go back on Labor Day. So if he doesn't practice Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday next week, and he can't show that he's healthy enough to play, I don't think they're going to just put him in there with 1 week to prepare. So if he doesn't practice next week, I think it's Jones on the right and Dan Moore on the left to open the season, but that all depends on what happens with Fiotano next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, is if he plays, and then to me, I think what will happen is you'll get those three young guys, quote unquote, whatever you want to call them. The more they play together, the better they're going to get, right, Ray?
Oh yeah, I mean that's the case with any offensive line, Paul. But when you're developing with, you know, first and second round picks in consecutive years, like I kind of liken it to the way Kevin Colbert built his lines when he drafted Pouncey in 2010. And then Gilbert came in 2011. And then DeCastro came in 2012. You know, they weren't a playoff team. They weren't even a very good team in 2013. But by the time 2014 got here, they were one of the best offenses and had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, say, oh, it's going to take 2 or 3 years, but it is going to take time. You know, I think Fatutanu is the real deal. I think Frazier is going to be really solid, too. I don't know that he's ever going to be an all-pro, but people rave about him down there, players and coaches alike. So I feel really good about those two. I'm a little bit concerned about Jones and this injury. I think it's hampering him a little bit. So that's the one guy I kind of worry about in terms of reaching his ceiling, being a number 14 overall pick. But hopefully he gets over that soon and he can get back to who he was last year, Paul, because last year he was a darn good right tackle for them in the second half of the season.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, our Steeler coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out at T-Mobile.com/switch. Just a couple more minutes with Ray Fittipaldi from the Post-Gazette. Ray, the secondary of the Steelers was another spot that they sort of had to, you know, figure it all out. But in your mind, has it come together reasonably well? And do you feel like, you know, the secondary will be a strength of the defense?
If they don't have any injuries, I like their safeties. And I think their outside corners are going to be good enough. I've got some major concerns, though, with slot corner Beanie Bishop. Didn't play last week, and the only healthy guy right now is Thomas Graham. It seems like Bishop is maybe going to play tomorrow. I think that's going to be a game-time decision. But both those guys are not locks to be the starter in Atlanta. You know, they can make a trade. They can look to the waiver wire there, and that's really something that has to be addressed. I mean, later in the season when Cam Sutton is back, they'll be fine there. But for the first half of the season, we have to see who emerges there. And then I got some questions about the depth at outside corner as well. You know, you got Darius Rush, Corey Trice, who are vying to be the top backup on the outside. Now, nobody worries about backups until there's an injury. But if Joey Porter goes down, if Dante Jackson goes down, none of those guys, neither of those guys, Trice or Rush, has any NFL experience or any significant experience. Rush played a little bit, you know, last season, not much, and Trice was on IR. So those are the two big questions I have, slot corner and who's going to back up on the outside. They like their young guys, but again, Paul, it's one thing to like them. It's another thing to trust them when the games start for real here in another week or so.
Tomorrow they play Detroit. You know, obviously the quarterbacks are one thing that everybody's going to be watching. What is, maybe give me one or two other things that probably are, you know, going to be developments that you need to watch a little bit.
Yeah, so fourth outside linebacker, really not a strong candidate. I think I wrote about this today. I think DeMarvin Leal can save them a roster spot. He could be the fourth outside linebacker. if need be. So that's one guy to watch this week, one position to watch. And then inside linebacker, Peyton Wilson was cleared from his concussion. He's not going to start, but they would like him to be the dime linebacker in sub packages. So can Wilson secure that spot? I think he can. And then we'll see what they do at number four outside linebacker. You know, special teams is always a big consideration. So if Leal can be number four, that certainly, you know, would be a good thing for Danny Smith. He doesn't have to, you know, worry about a spot there on the 53-man roster.
No, yeah, that's for sure. Now, Ray, you have kids, and they're in school, and you, I know, are a football. Do you go to the local high school football games every week?
I do. My kids go to West Day. My daughter is she wants to be a physical therapist, so she's on the training staff as a student helper. So I go to most every game I can when I'm not traveling. So, yeah, it's a good time.
It's getting ready to get started this week. You know, I know it's amazing, you know, when Eliza played, I was at game every week, but I still try and pop in, you know, every so often to see high school football because there's something fun about it.
Oh, it's a great time of the year. Colleges are starting this weekend too. And, before you know it, 2 weeks from now, the NFL. So everyone who loves football, get ready. It's coming up soon.
That's true. And that means we'll be talking to you a whole lot, Ray. So, and that's always a good thing. So, thank you so much, sir, and enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. So, we're actually Living Treasures. The snake. Let's get back to the snake. You're comfortable with it on your neck like that?
Yeah. Until they're like 8 to 10 feet, they're not really a danger to cinch down on you. And ball pythons don't really anyway. So
really,
yeah.
So now, you how do you take care of them? Do you have to like give them like shots and medicine and other stuff? Or, I mean, are snakes other animals like that?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a medical need, you know, there's shots, injections, creams, whatever they need. We have a very versatile vet that we work with, and yeah, I mean, we just this particular ball python actually does our photo encounters. So if you're ever here and you want a picture with a ball python, let us know. just ask for Mango. That's the snake's name. So
that's the snake's name. And you know, just pretty peaceful.
Yeah,
you know, just kind of lay. Now when it's in its cage, does it just sort of lay around? And
yeah, I mean, even in the wild, snakes mostly just hide. So that's why normally if you see a rattlesnake, you crept up on it, it doesn't creep up on you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if I see a rattlesnake, I would probably, it wouldn't have to bite me to kill me. It'd probably give me a heart attack, to be honest. So that's the python portion of this show.
Oh, this is the little one.
Oh.
We got bigger, we're bringing up.
All right, so there's bigger snakes coming out. What do you think about that?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've got high school football coming back, and of course we do a bang-up job here on KDKA with high school football, but it's not just high school football. We got college football tomorrow. City Limits, college football is back tomorrow, but we looked at the schedule. There's only one game that matters, right?
Yeah, it's the Florida State game in Dublin.
Right. But anyway, joining us now is Carlo Zovko, who is a football aficionado, all things expert on all things football. Is that how we can introduce you, Carlo?
That's a great introduction. I would say certainly expert on all things Whipple High School football.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you worked for Pat Narduzzi and company down at Pitt, so you have a pretty good feel for what's going on in college football. So we'll start there, actually, because next week you've got Penn State, West Virginia. You've got Pitt playing Kent State. I mean, tomorrow you've got Florida State going. As college football is back. I mean, just in the time even when you worked in college football till now, man, things have changed incredibly, haven't they? Like, what the NIL and transfer portal stuff obviously have been game changers, but what are some of the other things that just, you know, that make college football look a lot different than maybe we remember from even 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of administration. You know, they're looking for their ROI, right? Their return on investment. So a lot of these regional rivalries are kind of dead a little bit. It's good to see Penn State playing West Virginia, and obviously West Virginia playing Pitt again. But, you know, really next year is when you're going to see major, major changes. These changes right now are big, but next year is going to be massive because the schools can now directly pay the players. Next year they have millions of dollars in their pools. So next year I think you're going to see a more so salary cap NFL type of college football, which I think could be good. It'll definitely put at least a slow pause on the tampering and the poaching. But, you know, it's not going to stop it. But right now, I think that's the problem with college football is everything's so transient. You know, you're going to take 20 kids from the transfer portal every year, most of which are being quarterbacks or starting players. So, you know, fans don't grow with the player. You know, there's no more freshman All-Americans anymore. If a kid's a freshman All-American, he's hitting the portal and getting a big a big bag, as they say. You know, and, hey, good for those kids. But, you know, when you have a freshman All-American, it's also cool to be like, hey, we got three more years of this kid. So it's for the better, but the old traditional stuff, that's going away a little bit, somewhat.
You've seen, obviously, Pat Narduzzi. You worked for him. You know him very well. You know, at the start of this, it was a little bit of kicking and screaming, but he seems to have been able to adapt and accept sort of the way things are now. Have you seen him sort of make that transfer? It's sometimes hard for some of these old school guys to do that.
Yep, and he absolutely adapted, and you know, you have to credit him for it. Was it a little bit slower than what I personally would have liked? Absolutely, and that may be why they won three games last year. And you know, Pat Narduzzi will never make the same mistake twice. I can guarantee you that. So guess what? He made a lot of changes this season. He brought in a quarterback from Alabama to compete with Nate Yarnell. So, you know, he likes where he's at heading into this year. I like where Pitt's at heading into this year. But, you know, last year they had Phil Dracovic and Christian Vayer. You know, they were freebies on the NIL front. And guess what? Neither of them were really that great. You know, and that's probably being kind, Paul. They won three games. You know, I look at Baylor. Okay, this is Baylor now. They brought in a quarterback, the MAC MVP last year of the conference. MAC conference MVP, Daquan Finn, $1.5 million to get that kid down there, right? So that's the kind of money you're dealing with. That's a MAC MVP, Paul. Imagine what a Power 5 quarterback cost, you know? So,
yeah,
so that's
really
what college football is now.
Well, and
that's
and
what
the
it
other,
is. And
go ahead.
Well, did you see Baylor coaches are wearing shirts at their practices now saying "We pay players"? It's real big in Baylor, green and yellow. We pay players. You know, that's what it is now, for better or worse.
I got a kick out of the fact that Oklahoma State actually now has what do they call a QR code on the back of their helmets, so you can donate to their NIL coalition. How about that?
You know what? I love Mike Gundy. He's an old school guy as well. He pretty much 2 days prior to that, he told all the agents, "Quit calling me. We ain't paying anybody from now on for the rest of the season. Call me in December. Quit calling me." And then 2 days later, he puts a QR code on the helmet, pretty much saying, "Hey players, you want paid? make a play and have the fans donate to you. How about that? Quit having the agents call me.
Yeah, I know, really. I think that's the biggest thing is, I know there were some people who took exception to that, but I actually don't have a problem with a coach saying, hey, for the next 3 months, we're worrying about football. We'll worry about your next deal for next year in December.
Yeah, Paul, so a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a gray area. They don't like talking about it. These coaches are getting calls, you know, weekly from these agents. There's 85 scholarship players, you know, on a roster, especially at these bigger schools. All those kids have agents. That's 85 agents to deal with, and they all want to talk to the head coach or the GM. That's why all these college football teams now are hiring GMs like the NFL. That's pretty much, hey, NIL agents, call these guys. You know, I got enough to deal with. I don't need to be brokering deals 2 weeks before the season, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
So I get where Gundy's coming from there.
I kind of laughed about that, though, the fact that they're hiring general managers for college football, but it makes sense. I mean, everything
– and they're paying them handsomely. And they're paying them handsomely.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe that's your next career as the GM of a college football team.
Well, you know, I was texting some people. I said, oh, maybe I got out of the industry, you know, a year too early.
Right. I mean, it seems like – so with all of that, but also, you know, tomorrow SMU plays. You know, I guess we have to have – I guess we have to have some, you know, passing interest in it, seeing as they're now an ACC team.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's a good thing. I think the more Power Four schools – the better, you know, the more we can bring up programs, it's better for college football. College football, in my opinion, is the greatest sport in the world. And if we could figure it out, you know, we could be like the European soccer leagues and all that, where the fans are invested in every single game, every single moment. I think college football is in a unique situation, and I hope that they can capitalize on it.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where it's a year of just getting adjusted, isn't it? I think, in fact, doesn't Cal play here at Pitt? I think they do.
Yes, they're coming over, yep.
Cal,
oh, yeah, long
play. Cal versus Pitt, ACC game, right?
Well, when you think of the Atlantic Coast, I certainly think of Cal football and Pitt football.
Well, the funny thing was I saw on social media on Twitter someone tweeted, you know, ACC classic game, and it was the Cal Stanford, you know, the one where the guy runs on the
the band is on the field.
The band runs on the field. That classic game. It was like ACC ACC classic game. You know, classic ACC football, and it was that Cal Stanford thing. But you know, another thing that happened with Pitt. Pat Narduzzi went out and hired a completely different kind of offensive coordinator than he's probably had, right? I mean, this is going to be very interesting to watch Pitt play football.
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of goes back to what I said. You know, Pat Narduzzi's not going to make the same mistake. He hired Frank Cignetti. You know, he wanted to run the rock, control the ground game, and play defense. And you know, they seen what happened. That 2022 year when, you know, Pitt was rated in the top 25, won the Sun Bowl. You know, that should have been an ACC championship year as well, in my opinion. And I was on staff that year. We won 9 games. But I think Pat kind of seen the writing on the wall, like, hey, it's not a run and play defense college football anymore. It's not the league anymore. You have to adapt, and you need to score points. You know, if Pitt in 2022 would have put up 30 points a game, 35 a game, which isn't crazy in college. It's very average and pedestrian. If they would have done that, they would have had 11 wins. So, at least. So, I think he's making an adjustment. You know, sometimes you have to give credit where credit's due. And you know, I'm giving Pat credit there. I think Cade Bell's going to be good. I hope there's not too big of growing pains. But, you know, I hear this offense is very explosive, and, you know, don't be surprised to see some one-play drives, you know, one play, 75 yards and a touchdown. You didn't see that much with Frank Cignetti. We're looking forward to seeing that for Pitt here.
I was talking to a couple of people who were on the staff, and they were joking that there could be some times they have to turn off Pat Narduzzi's headsets on offense because they're going to be, you know, they're going to be doing things that make him very uncomfortable at times.
You know, My favorite thing that probably made Pat uncomfortable, you know, I wasn't on the headsets, but, you know, I can see some body language. If you remember the ACC championship year, Mark Whipple was 4th and 5, I believe, against Clemson, and Whipple called a deep post. And, you know, Pat just probably wasn't, but, you know, he kept his mouth shut. He let his OC make the call. But I just looked at him. You could just tell there was a big pit in his stomach. And then I think it was Casey or Mac caught the touchdown. It kind of broke open the game. You know, Kenny Pickett yells to the sideline, let's bleep and go. That was a moment of that 21 year. And sometimes you got to just let the OC call his offense, take some shots when he feels it. And, you know, they have a gut feeling, too. So I think that's going to be – I think it's going to be good. K-Bell's going to be really good in that regard.
Well, you helped put together these recruiting classes for these guys that are now sophomores and juniors and, you know, the guys that are going to start playing. I thought it was kind of funny. I said to Pat Narduzzi, I had him on last week, and I said, you guys lost a number of high-profile players on defense. How do you replace them? And he said, well – you know, all those high-profile players led us to 3 wins, which was not a not so subtle shot at them, if you know what I mean.
Not so subtle shot at all, right?
There are some, you know, good young guys, right, on that side of the ball that are going to be that obviously you're very familiar with, right?
Yeah, on defense, you know, nobody kind of gives this guy credit, and I'm not sure why, but Ryan Manilak, the linebacker coach, he has just been recruiting dudes into his room. When he first got hired in 2021, you know, we had about 4 linebackers that could play in the game. Right now, through Ryan Manilak's recruiting, and they're all young kids too, and he lost a couple in the portal, you know, they have probably 7 or 8 linebackers that can go into the game and make some plays. The guy doesn't miss on his prospects. He zeroes in on his top guys. And let me tell you, he got a great eye for it. And another one, really a couple other guys, are Corey Sanders and Archie Collins. That defensive backfield, especially the safeties, are loaded. The cornerbacks, you know, they had a couple drafted in the last couple years, so they got to restock a little. But that safety group and that linebacker group, really, really good. I'm very excited to see the young guys this year.
Well, just a couple more minutes with Carlo. Carlo, your wheelhouse as well as Whipple High School football. I saw you did some podcasts. Who run down reasonably quick. Your 6, two favorites in each class that we should watch.
Two favorites in each class, absolutely. I love this. Let's start small. Single A, I love Fort Cherry. Matt Sigg, the super sophomore last year, is back for his junior year. He was, all world last year for Fort Cherry, led them to a Whipple championship. It's going to be them, and it's going to be the Clarendon Bears. The Bears are back, baby. They got 2 guys, the running back Jasir Jones and the wide receiver Zamir Correll. Those are 2 Division I talents. I'm expecting Fort Cherry and Clarendon in single A this year. Single A got some dudes. You know, I know it's a small classification, but sometimes when you got the best players, they put up insane stats, and that's what we got this year. In 2A, I love Seton La Salle, and I love South Park. South Park, and they're 2 polar opposites, Paul. South Park has all this beef up front, 2 Division I offensive tackles, guards and centers that are each 6 foot, 250 plus. So, you know, a lot of beef up front, and Eric Doru, the running back, going to rush for close to 1,800 yards this year. He's a Division I kid, probably Division I FCS like Duquesne and them. But then Seton La Salle has my favorite player in the entire Whipple, Khalil Taylor. He's a sophomore this year. Seton La Salle started really bad last year, and then they realized, hey, this freshman we got's a dude. He recently got rated a top 50 player nationally in his class, Paul. Seton La Salle, Khalil Smith, they're my champion in 2A, preseason champ at least. In 3A, I love Central Valley. Mark Lyons, their head coach, he's a legend right now. Love Central Valley, and I love the Beaver Bobcats. Sometimes these smaller communities, Paul, the stars align. The stars are aligning for the Beaver Bobcats. I'm expecting them to have a major, major year. So those are my 2 favorites in 3A. in 4A. Now we're starting to get to the big boys. Aliquippa might be the favorite in 6A. They are loaded up front. They're loaded in the defensive backfield. They have a quarterback this year in Marquise Council, who's going to be a Division I kid. He's a junior. And, of course, they have the state player of the year, Tyke Hayes, who's back for his senior year. He needs about a little over 3,000 yards to break Russell Shell's all-time PA record. If they go to the state championship, it's not out of the question, but he's going to need to have a big year to do it. But it's not out of the question. He's going to rush for at least 2,000. That's Tyke Hayes, the Penn State recruit. In 5A, 5A, Peters Township returns just about everybody. They have the best pass rushers in the WPIAL. Mickey Vaccarello is going to Stanford. He's a senior. And Reston Lehman, he's a junior coming off the other edge. He's going to be a Power 4 football recruit. I would think like the Pitt, Penn State's, West Virginia's will be after him. They're my favorite. Their quarterback is the Sheriff, Nolan DeLucia. He's a junior, Paul, so he's going to be back again next year. He's about 6'4", big arm. He already has a couple FBS offers. Woodland Hills is my number two team. Scoop Smith is electrifying. He's a junior receiver. Now, he ran a 4.40 at West Virginia this summer. He runs a 10-400 meter, easily the fastest player in the Whitfield. You get him the ball in space, he's going to make some plays. And their junior quarterback, Cam Walters, is a Division I talent as well. So I think that duo, Walters and Scoop Smith, will light up defenses all year long. And then the big boys in 6A, you know, it was the same 5 years ago. It's going to be the same in the next 5 years. It's going to be North Allegheny and Central Catholic. I'm going to give Central the slight favorite lead right now. Ryan Lehmeyer's in year two. Art Walker, you know, kind of had a couple tricks up his sleeve in the championship game. Beat Central last year. I think Central goes on a revenge tour. You know, they're littered with Power 5 recruits, especially at that linebacker position. I think Bradley Gompers, the Duke commit, is their best player. Expect to see a lot of him on offense at kind of a receiving tight end role and then outside linebacker. And then North Allegheny, you know, never count out NA. They are loaded in the trenches. They'll be able to run the rock this year.
Carlo, great stuff, sir. Thank you so much for jumping on. And we will look forward to your weekly commentary.
I'll be on 100.1 after the game tonight, really before the games as well, but with Paul Alexander, 9 to 11.
Right, I was just going to get to that. You're back to do our broadcast on KDKA, and so you'll hear Carlo in the pregame and then wrapping it up in the postgame, which is always a lot of fun.
Oh, so. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, brother. That is Carlo Zofko.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.